Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's a pretty good time to be a student, right? You're coming up on winter break, but no, there is no rest for the semi-ambitious high school junior. You've got college applications to deal with. You've been dealing with it for years and years. You have a January 1st deadline for a lot of colleges, and if that's you, if that's your child, please listen up. My next guest has some advice for getting the applications done without ruining the holiday break. Jacques Steinberg covered college admissions for the New York Times for many years, and he wrote the book The Gatekeepers: Inside the Admissions Process of a Premier College. He's now with the national nonprofit Say Yes to Education, which helps kids in low-income districts navigate applying to and staying in college. Welcome back to the show, Jacques.
Thanks, Mike.
And if you are still working with your applications or have any advice for the expert, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Ideally, at this point, where are the students in the process of applying? If they didn't go early admission.
So let's assume they didn't go early admission. There are January 1st deadlines, as you mentioned, at many of the colleges that your listeners are interested in. In an ideal world, they're pretty much done. They've lined up their recommendations. They've sent their test scores. They've drafted their essays and personal statements. And in many cases, they've already long since pushed the button. But of course, they're 17 and 18 years old, and they've got a lot of other things on their plates. And so some of them may be working a little closer to that deadline.
And I said juniors, but it's seniors who are applying. It's juniors who are cramming for the SAT. With the big ones in what, March, May?
We're definitely speaking to an audience of seniors.
Let's go back and talk about, so I mentioned early admission. You were on the show a couple months ago, but just give us, kind of take us up to date, how many students will be applying through early admission and how many slots are still left at the colleges, because, you know, a lot of them have already filled a lot through these early admission candidates.
So there are two flavors of early admission for the most part. One is a binding early decision where you apply to one of these institutions, and if you get in, you've committed to go if accepted. And the second major flavor is early action, which is not binding. And there are some variations on that. But for the most part, you apply in November. You find out this week, but you don't have to decide until May. The fact is, in the scheme of things, relatively few kids are applying early decision. Certainly, these programs are popular at some of the highly selective privates. And it varies in terms of how many or what percentage of the slots in a class are sort of taken up by early decision kids. But at some schools, it can be in the range of 40% to 50%.
Oh, wow. Do the schools, different schools, I'm sure, have different philosophies, but do the schools want to fill up those slots or they want to hold them back? What if we get these great kids who aren't applying early?
It's very, very complicated. On the one hand, if a student has done their due diligence and is a strong candidate and has signaled to a school with a binding early program, hey, to the extent I know, as a 17 or 18 year old, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That it may be in that institution's interest to lock that student up, in effect. But they obviously still want to, as institutions, leave themselves lots of wiggle room for the regular decision round, and also leave students that early decision programs are not for everybody. And if there's one piece of advice I would give to families, don't focus in the regular decision round on what may or may not have happened in the early decision round.
Yeah.
Just students should just give it their best shot and let the colleges work on slots and availability.
I know there's enormous pressure, especially at of those applying to highly selective colleges, to apply early decision or early action because these students feel it gives them a leg up. They got to select their first choice early. But you say that they shouldn't wait for their response. They're not going to get their response until it's kind of too late for the other applications.
No, right? I mean, some of them are hearing this week, but no. In general, you don't want to wait to hear that decision to be prepared for what may be coming. If that decision is one that's disappointing, it may throw you into a little bit of a funk and probably doesn't give you your best sort of have your head in its best place. So it's important to sort of forge ahead. it doesn't mean you necessarily push the button, but certainly, ideally, you're not waiting to hear from your early admission school before you start thinking about your schools in the main round.
Our number is 212-433-9692 if you're dealing with this January 1st deadline. We're saying January 1st, but, you know, with all the holidays, really think of it – you got to think of it as like a December 20th deadline, right?
I think, for a lot of high schools, they're going to let out as of December 20th for the holiday break. Certainly, kids are going to – there are kids who will be working on these between December 20th and January 1st. The important thing to keep in mind in this next week is, are there – recommendations you need from your teachers? Are there transcripts you need sent? Are there scores that you need to be asked sent to be sent? Those are the things you really want to try to lock up by December 20th.
And the students who are at schools with a lot of resources, the schools will help you. The students who aren't are already behind the eight ball. Now there's 2 8 balls in a row or something. I mean, a lot of students really have to ride herd on this themselves. I mean, there are a lot of schools with budget cuts and, you know, one guidance counselor for every 150 kids.
Yeah, talk about caseloads of 900 for a single guidance counselor, and that's not unusual in schools around this country. But I don't want kids to think they're behind the eight ball. I want them to know that common sense can go a long way in this process, and it is eminently doable. Even though it feels like the rest of their life is on the line, it's not. And you know what? It's also important to know that there are plenty of colleges that have deadlines that extend beyond January 1st and into the spring. So it's easy for me to say, but do kind of calm it down and know that you can do this and you will have options. And don't act as if so much is riding on it.
Well, knowledge is power. And Jock has written and worked with college counselor Mary Bigham on a blog post for WNYCSchoolBook.org. You could go to schoolbook.org if you're missing anything in this conversation. And one of the blog posts, recent blog posts, was advice in writing those essays. Is that the most tension-filled aspect of this process for most kids?
I mean, it depends on the student. And look, as a writer, the essay was my favorite part of the application. As I talk to students and parents, it's my favorite part to talk about. It's your opportunity as an applicant to sort of come alive as a human being. You need to know that at highly selective colleges, at least 2 admissions officers are going to read those essays, and perhaps the whole committee will consider them. And what are they looking for? They're looking for a sign of sort of what makes you tick. What are some of the events in your life that have changed you? What were they and why? They want to make kind of a personal connection, even though they might never meet you, to sort of rise above these test scores and grades and transcripts and activities.
Well, as a follow-up to that, Jacques, let me ask you a question. Would you please for me reflect on a time when you challenged a belief or idea, and what prompted you to act, and would you make the same decision again?
So it's funny. It's as you ask that question, I literally feel my stomach tightening. Point taken. That is, I think you're reading from one of the prompts of this year's common application.
Yes, that's
is that
option
right?
number three.
Option number three. And so it's important to know, and I think it's terrific you pulled that prompt from the common application, which is the application that more than 500 colleges accept. These prompts are always very, very broad, and for the most part, what they're looking for is the sort of information that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Can you use that prompt to tell them something about yourself that will make you sort of come alive to them and give them a sense of you?
It's a common application. I remember when I was in school, there was a big debate about whether that would hurt your chances of getting in. Maybe you should apply to a school that you really love with their application, thus signaling you really care about them. Has that debate been settled?
It hasn't been settled, but there's sort of a new reality, and that is that the common application is accepted by more than 500 colleges in this country. For many of them, it's the only application they do accept. Some of them will have a supplement. And the purpose of that supplement, say, for example, in the case of the University of Pennsylvania, is why the University of Pennsylvania, which is an opportunity for you to show that you did your homework on that school. But the common application is the coin of the realm for many of these institutions. There's also a less popular one, but one called the universal application, which I know that some schools are accepting. But the common application has it's for many institutions, this is the way to apply.
Our number is 212-433-9692. This might be a challenging question for, you're the expert there, Jacques. But Joyce from Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Hello, Joyce.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I have a young friend who's an immigrant, and she's starting her applications. And she's been told that she has to apply as an international student because she has a temporary visa, but it hasn't come through yet, permanent status. Mm-hmm. Will this hurt her chances? She can't apply for state or federal aid if she's not a resident, she's been told.
Would this hurt her chances of admission, you're asking?
Well, no, of getting aid.
She's
a good student. She can get admitted, but she can't get aid, her guidance counselor told her.
It is sort of a technical question, and the fact that she's talking to a guidance counselor is a good thing. It sounds like just the fact that there is a guidance counselor in her life. I would urge her or an adult who is working with her to check with each of the institutions that she's applying to, and they don't have to give names. Just say, I have a student or I am a student, because the policies may vary by institution. And I would also recommend there's a website called finaid.org, FINAID.org, which is, you know, the sort of go-to resource for all things financial aid. And without having it in front of me, I'm willing to guess that there is a section there that speaks to this very question. But in terms of Mike's question about the application, these schools are accepting more international students than ever, and so that could be something that's quite appealing in the application. But the financial aid will be a question that may be different from one school to the next.
Okay. Is an institution allowed to get federal aid or state aid if she's not a permanent resident?
I don't know that. Okay. I'm going to be honest that's beyond my skill set.
Okay.
But website,
thank you so much.
finaid.org. Yep. But actually, all you have to do is ask one of these schools. One part of this process that's probably different than when Mike and I applied is that these folks are very, very accessible, whether it's by email or by picking up the phone. And I would go right to the source.
If there was one reform in the whole process you'd like to see the colleges take, what would it be?
Boy, one reform of the whole process. That's
you could give me three.
I mean, certainly one of my concerns is that some students are using the Common Application to apply to so many schools, in some cases 15 or 20 schools. It's hard to generalize from one person to the next, but boy, it's my understanding that 10, you know, is a pretty good outer limit. And but I'd hate to sort of legislate that you couldn't apply to more than 10, but I'd sure like the word to be out that 15 to 20 is kind of pushing it a little bit. Certainly that's one thing. I certainly want students to understand that standardized test scores in terms of at least the highly selective privates are not going to be the determining factor of whether they're getting in. It's a factor for mm-hmm. sure, but in my experience, there are not cutoffs. There certainly are hopes and expectations for applicants in terms of how they'll score, but I hate to have a student say, I got this particular score, I'm not getting in. It's important to be realistic, but don't also make the admissions office's decision for them. It can be about a lot more than test scores.
Highly selective privates, I hear that. How many are there? And I think I once read a statistic that far fewer colleges reject more applicants than accept. I mean, so many fewer applicants are actually harder to get into than
so
easier.
I guess this would be the third thing to answer your question, that I'd love the word to get out, that there's something on the order of 2,000 four-year colleges and universities in this country. Only about four dozen or so turn away far more than they accept. So a lot of the agita and the anxiety is for a relatively small portion of this universe, four dozen or so out of a universe of 2,000.
And by the way, those four dozen aren't the best colleges and definitely aren't the best college for you, no matter who you may be. I mean, that's a really rough approximation of college excellence, the ones that don't want you in.
No, I mean, best is a relative term. And you'll hear guidance counselors use the word fit. It's a big world out there. There's a book called Colleges That Change Lives, 50 liberal arts colleges that you or I may not have heard of, a book that makes an excellent case for the education offered at those institutions. And so it's important for people to keep keep an open mind and not necessarily get hung up on that brand name. On the other hand, I went to one of these schools, Dartmouth College in New Hampshire.
Never heard
and
of it.
And
oh, a good ski program. Now I have. Yeah.
And these experiences can be life changing. So it's impossible to generalize about any two students in terms of what, you know, best means.
All right, let's try to get one more call here. Emily from the Atlantic Highlands. Hello, Emily.
Hi. It's Elizabeth, actually.
Okay. I'm going to call you Emily, though. No, I won't. Okay. Hello, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out something that's going on that people might not be aware of. A lot of schools now are accepting children, young adults in the spring semester. So my daughter got her acceptance letter last spring, and it said, you know, can't wait to see you spring of 2014. And we didn't see that at first. So at first we're like, yay. But, you know, it all worked out. She went to community college, got some good things, you know, out of that. And now she's going to school in January. But it was a little shocking. But it's something that's going on. There was a Times article about it as well.
Thanks. Yes, I've heard about this trend. What do you know about it, Jack?
It's certainly one of the things driving this trend is just space. I mean, these colleges, many, you know, in the universe that we're talking about, are being overrun by applications in some cases, and being able to admit somebody to take residence in the spring as opposed to the fall might lessen the burden in terms of things like housing. And if this is your first choice school or your third or fourth choice school, it sometimes can be a way to make sure that happens. Some schools are also doing this, though, because they want to see a little more maturity, and maybe they think that extra semester might help on that score, or maybe there's a particular course that they want you to take before you start. But certainly no stigma or trauma involved, but if you're the kind of student who just wants to get at it in the fall at the college that's going to be your college, it becomes a factor.
Well, let's leave it there. Jacques Steinberg of Say Yes to Education. We'll be back with more advice as we go through the application year. Thanks so much.
Thank you.